It's time now for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Now, here's your host, Colin Fluxman.
Thanks, Bob, and welcome to the show. Today, we'll be discussing how a no-court divorce benefits the children, as well as other aspects of children of divorce. Our guests today are Dr. Carol Hughes and Bruce Frettenberg of the Collaborative Divorce Solutions of Orange County, as well as published author Wendy Schuller on the line. Welcome, Carol, if I may call you Carol, and Bruce.
Yes, that's fine. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, of course, the backbone of the show, Lisa Zonder, in the studio here. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
Marion Wright Edelman, founder of the Children's Defense Fund, said, if we don't stand up for children, then we don't stand for much. How true is that? Dr. Hughes, PhD, is a licensed marriage, family, and child therapist, a board-certified clinical hypnotherapist, an EMDR therapist, and a former professor of human services at Saddleback College. She's been in private practice in Laguna Hills, California, since 1983 and a regular contributor to our show. Is that all correct, Dr. Hughes?
Yes, that's correct, Colin.
Wonderful. And sitting right next to you is Bruce Frettenberg, a board-certified clinical hypnotist. And he has been a licensed therapist since 1982. Bruce has extensive training in mediation and in interdisciplinary team model of collaborative practice, and is also trained in the one coach model. Bruce is a returning guest on Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Welcome again, Bruce.
Thank you, Colin. Also, my license is I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Oh, fantastic.
I have a board certification in clinical hypnosis.
I was going to get to that as well. So I want to ask both of you, if I may, just a little off topic for a brief moment. What really is hypnotism and how does it work? Hypnotherapy. How does it work, really?
Well, one of my beliefs about human beings is that we all live in a trance. And what I mean by a trance is we live in a state of self-imposed limitations based on a set of unexamined or unconscious beliefs. And so, in actuality, if you look at little kids, they go in and out of an alpha or a theta state the first 5 or 6 years all the time when they're just kind of staring off into space. And when we're in that state, we're able to learn and absorb information much more quickly. And people go in and out of that state or a similar state all the time. You've probably had times when you've been driving on the freeway, you're on a familiar route, you suddenly look up and you're in the wrong lane and your exit's coming up, and it'd be hard to explain who's been driving the car the last 5 miles or so.
Yes.
A friend of mine used to say he was going to get arrested for DUR driving under the influence of his radio.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, so when we're in that really focused state of concentration, our unconscious kind of takes over for routine tasks. And so people go in and out of that state all the time. And what a hypnotherapist does is help people get into that state on purpose, because it's really all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So then at that point, people have access to their subconscious and they can put in ideas and programs that are more congruent with what they want to do today versus what they may have developed when they were little kids and didn't know what was going on in the world.
Right.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Okay. Now, I understand, most people understand hypnotism and hypnotherapy as something theatrical where you sort of wave something in front of the person's eyes and say, you are going to sleep, and when I snap my fingers, you'll wake up again and not remember anything. Is this right, or is it just a romantic notion?
Well, first of all, stage hypnotists are quite different from hypnotherapists. Hypnotherapists have years of training. They must be licensed mental health professionals. And as Bruce said a moment ago, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So I'm not going to go into talking about the stage hypnotist, but I'll echo what Bruce said about it. It's our most creative state, and I'll end with a quote by Albert Einstein, who said he had yet to figure out a good reason for the conscious mind, that everything of value happens at the subconscious level. And that's what hypnotherapists help our clients access, that very creative state.
Well, thank you very much for that explanation. Dr. Hughes, you authored an article entitled How No-Court Divorce Benefits Children. What is a combat divorce, and how does it negatively impact children?
Well, actually, I want to give my colleague here, Bruce Frettenberg, for acknowledge him. I believe he actually is the one who came up with that term, combat divorce, and allowed me to use it. So thank you, Bruce. We've known each other for many, many years, and the idea of combat divorce we've talked about, meaning that when parents go into a divorce process, so many of them, it is a war, and the battle lines are drawn, so to speak, and family members and friends and their litigating attorneys line up on each side of the battlefield, and literally, you know, the figurative bloodshed occurs. And so that's, you know, the awful litigated divorces is what we're referring to as combat divorce.
Now, you used a metaphor about combat divorce, and in that context, you explain that the children metaphorically are huddled together in a foxhole, wondering what has happened to the family they once knew. Can you elaborate on the child's perspective through a combat divorce?
Yes, and that metaphor came to me from working with children for so many years, children whose families are going through divorce. Many of them, I mean, they didn't use the word the phrase combat divorce, but they described things like, I just go into my closet, I close the door, I cover my ears because the yelling and screaming is so awful. I hear them yelling. I hear them, one of them yelling on the phone to the other. I hear my mom or dad talking to friends, how awful the other parent is. And some children have even said, I wish I had no ears.
Right.
And then some of the older kids do say, it's like a war zone. It's like living in a war zone.
Right. So combat divorce is an emotional and sometimes even physical survival state for the children. And parents often need help in understanding this. In your experience and in your profession and practice, both of you, how effective is this where the children get together and the parents try and get them to understand what is going on, especially in a combative situation where there is so much animosity between the divorcing parents?
Well, as you might imagine, it doesn't work very well because there's so much hurt and anger, sometimes sense of betrayal on the parents' side, and they're starting to treat each other almost like they're predators. So the kids absorb that message from the parent. They may see one parent as being persecuted and then be angry at the other one. They may buy into one parent's narrative that the other parent's just the most horrible person in the world, and of course that's going to be a problem for the kids growing up. It's really, really difficult, and I think you had the filmmaker Ellen Bruno on your show recently.
Yes, yes, we did.
She had expressed to us that she was, in looking back on it, she was really startled to realize during her own divorce how much support there was, even from her own family members and friends, to really get angry at her, at her kids' other parents, and to really go to arms and get that rat. And one can assume he was getting the same cheering from his side of the family.
So, essentially, how do the mediation and collaborative divorce processes benefit parents and children? And Lisa's here as well, who's very much involved in
yes.
collaborative divorce.
And Lisa, please feel free to chime in as well from your perspective.
Absolutely.
What I've seen over the years, Colin, is that some parents, not all, sadly, are willing to be educated and coached on about some of the things we're talking about today on the show and some of the articles that Bruce and I have written, because they're in that trance state, so to speak, that Bruce was talking about earlier, the battle, the lose-lose, you know, or the win-lose, I'm sorry to say, win-lose philosophy, trance state. So some of them are willing to be coached and educated how to create the most positive, healthy legacy for their children from this time in their lives. And so they're willing for us to help them do that. When they are willing to do that, it's extremely beneficial to the children.
Right.
I would also add right here, if you don't mind, Dr. Hughes, the couple things here that the consumers might want to be aware of is, first of all, when they keep the divorce out of court, it could be very cost effective for them, and then protect family resources to the extent they don't have to have very costly child custody evaluations done through the courts, and also just to litigate in general with the lawyer fees. The other thing I would say is that if you can stay out of court, you're going to be building on whatever goodwill there is and recognizing that there is a co-parenting relationship that's going to continue on forever, basically, vis-a-vis your children. And so it's really important to protect all of the family members from the fear and the anger that's part of the divorce process, and also to encourage these relationships post-divorce, which I think is very well addressed in an out-of-court process, because you can come back to the professionals on the team. So I would say cost savings in many cases, and also resources that go on well beyond after the divorce papers are drawn up.
You must have had, we're going to get back to other detailed questions about children and their involvement in the parents' divorce, but the three of you must have had some pretty mind-blowing experiences with parents who are so antagonistic and so much animosity that it's really tough to get through to them. Have you had those experiences?
On a nearly daily basis,
okay.
Colin.
Perhaps you can elaborate a little?
Sure. I mean, when you have clients, whether they're going through the courts, I would just, let me bring one to mind, for example,
okay.
Just drawing on something very recent. I sometimes do settlement officer work at the courts, which is serving as an attorney mediator. And oftentimes the parents and the emotions, the way they collide in the room is so bad that literally you can't reach resolution on anything until, you know, you can calm them down. I would have loved in almost every settlement that I've participated in as an attorney to also have coaches on board, mental health professionals like Dr. Hughes or Bruce
right.
Fredenberg, because so many of the issues are so simple. Really, there's no estate. You know, they may be fighting over the stuff in the house that's worth collectively maybe $5,000, if that. And it's really all about the emotions, and what they really need are the therapists in the room to make sure that they're being heard and to address and alleviate some of their fears and concerns. And really the lawyer's part, sometimes if it's high conflict in the way I'm describing, is almost, you know, negligible compared to having those child specialists or coaches, which we use often in the collaborative process. And it would be great if those resources were available at the court to have full teams, you know, for the
parents. Do you foresee this happening? Do you think that this is likely to happen in the future?
I see it happening on a small scale with the Los Angeles County courts, for example, and the San Fernando courts and the Van Nuys courts. They are sometimes bringing in the financial professionals, and they have settlement week, settle-a-rama is what they call it, over in the San Fernando courts. And so what they'll do is they'll actually bring together on some of the more high conflict cases the lawyers, the financial professionals, and also the mental health professionals, and they work together as an interdisciplinary team to help settle these cases. So it's starting to catch on.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on News Talk AM 50 KVTA. Our guests today are Dr. Carol Hughes and Bruce Fredenberg, and we're discussing how a no-court divorce benefits the children. And we'll be right back.
Are you contemplating divorce? Maybe you've already filed for divorce and are overwhelmed by the process, or you're in the midst of a divorce and not sure what to do next. Well, we have the answer for you. The Second Saturday Divorce Workshop. Explore the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce. Discover community resources available to help you. Talk with others experiencing similar life changes. Learn from experts who have guided others through divorce. Workshops are held at 2625 Townsgate Road, Suite 330, Westlake Village, on the second Saturday of each month from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Register by calling 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810, or email us at secondsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. That's 2ndsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. Call 805-372-1810. 805-372-1810. If you're looking for workshop locations other than Westlake Village, check out the website at wife.org. That's wife.org. Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about
about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760 or log on to WagnerFinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
Are you and your spouse contemplating a divorce? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Lisa Zonder is a divorce attorney and mediator. She can help you through this process, providing a number of alternatives to court, such as mediation and collaborative divorce with a professional team. Lisa's main office is on Townsgate Road in Westlake Village. She also serves mediation clients in her satellite office on Camden Drive in Beverly Hills. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. If you mention you heard it on the radio, your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. That's Lisa Zonder, 805-777-7740, or email Lisa at zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura County and Beverly Hills.
And you're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style on AM 1590 KVTA. I'm Colin Fluxman. Lisa, you wanted to clarify something about the discussion in the court situation.
Yes, right. I just wanted to add that the court having the support of all of those professionals is really done on, they're getting those benefits on a voluntary basis.
I see.
So it really requires a lot of volunteerism on the part of the professionals. And I have to say that the professionals, it's a small community of family law professionals who really put all of their heart and soul into doing this work.
It's not happening in Ventura County. You mentioned San Fernando and L.A. County, but it's not happening in here in this area?
Not yet, but there are a lot of volunteer attorneys over at the Ventura Courts.
Okay. On the line, we have Dr. Carol Hughes and Bruce Fredenberg of the Collaborative Divorce Solutions of Orange County, and also Wendy Schuller. We'd like to welcome Wendy, a neuro-linguistic programmer, nurse and hypnotherapist, as well as a published author and contributor to UK's The Divorce magazine. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Hi, it's great to be on the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Wendy also has a website, womensguidetodivorce.net, covering divorce and other women's issues. Wendy, you went through a difficult divorce yourself. Tell us about your experiences and what prompted you to write the book, The Woman's Holistic Guide to Divorce.
When I got a divorce, there just wasn't resources available. I didn't know where to turn to, how to get help, and I felt very much alone. The majority of my friends were married, so while they were sympathetic, they couldn't give me actual very good advice. So what I would recommend, if your spouse leaves you and you're in a state of shock, what I did is I called my local United Way, because they have an idea of what resources are available locally. They sent me to the community college, and they had a women in transition class for people widowed or empty nest, and that I felt was a lifesaver. So there's a lot you can do initially, but then I talked to more people, interviewed people, found out that they had experiences of feeling very isolated, and I put their wisdom, advice, and what I've learned, plus what I've studied as a nurse and hypnotherapist, into a book. So it's more than just legal or financial. It has a lot about moving on and health in it, too, which I definitely needed.
Now, you hired an attorney for your divorce, but for the court divorce, but decided to go the collaborative route instead. Why did you switch?
Well, actually, I looked into court, and I went to an attorney that did both. And because my ex is very well known in the community, kind of a big fish in a little pond.
Right.
So she said court would not be good, even though she does do litigation. and steered me into collaborative. Only certain attorneys are certified to do collaborative divorce. So that's another thing I'd like to point out to everybody.
Yes, as is Lisa.
Right. Do your research to decide what type of divorce you want. Do you want mediation? Do you want litigation going to court? Do you want collaborative? Because that will really determine what type of attorney that you get. So then we started into the collaborative process. And if one person drops out, the rule with collaborative is they can't go to court. You have to start over from ground one. I think my spouse realized how expensive it would be to go to court. So, you know, I had to get a new attorney that did court divorces, and he did too. So then he called his former collaborative attorney and asked if we could go back to that. My collaborative attorney called me, so then we just sort of resumed where we left off. And we were assigned, and I can talk about parenting plan, a mediator to help us with communication post-divorce. So I met with the mediator, so I got a feel for all three types of divorces, and I put that in the book.
Now, let me ask you this. All four of you, in fact, you've mentioned the collaborative divorce, so as everybody else, as opposed to going to court. Now, you also said, Wendy, that it was a very expensive process to go to court. The realization was there. But is a collaborative divorce process an expensive one? Is it manageable? Is it less expensive than going to court?
It is much less expensive than going to court, because going to court, the attorneys have to do preparation, same as collaborative, but when you're meeting with a judge, you're really doing a lot more prep time. You're figuring in their cost, waiting around until they get into the courtroom. With collaborative, you're going straight there, you're having meetings, you accomplish a lot in a meeting. You can get it done as quickly as four sessions for collaborative.
But Lisa, a question. You're using professionals as part of the process. You may use an investment advisor, you may use a tax attorney or a forensic accountant and a psychotherapist and yourself as an attorney. There's got to be some costs involved in using all those professionals.
Let me explain. It's a relative comparison. Let's just say relative to litigation, mediation is often the least expensive because you don't have as many professionals on board. So there you're talking about an attorney mediator. And then sometimes the clients will elect to go get independent attorneys to consult with. So the costs there, you know, are generally going to be the lowest compared to court. Next in line on the spectrum would generally be, and these are just generalities because every
yes.
case is different and it just depends on the dynamics between the couple and how they consume services. Normally next would be collaborative divorce. And then even within collaborative divorce, the couples have options to do a full team interdisciplinary process versus a streamlined process where they subscribe to a menu of a certain number of meetings and follow a certain protocol. But if need be, they can always add additional meetings, and that would be a cost inflator. So that would be the moderate cost, would be to do a collaborative process. And then the most expensive, generally speaking, would be litigation. But again, that's assuming that you're going to use attorneys and not self-represent in court. So that's another option. There are so many options.
So many, right.
And in terms of the professionals, you're not generally using tax attorneys and the way you've described it, not exactly. What you're doing is you'll have a team with two attorneys, the collaborative team lawyers. So each client has a lawyer. And then also you'll have, if there are children, hopefully you'll hire a child specialist, which is what we're going to talk about in more detail with
yes.
Carol and Bruce. And then finally, there's a neutral financial professional who will help gather all the financial documents and help educate and inform the clients about the financial situation and answer questions for them.
Wendy, was that your experience?
It was. Now, I had a more difficult divorce, so we had more people on the team. Other people that I talked to, it was more streamlined, like Lisa said, and it was their collaborative divorces were accomplished
right.
more quickly and cheaply. So as Lisa said, it really depends on the couple and the amount of services that are required.
Back to Bruce and Carol. You co-authored Where Are the Child Specialists on our collaborative divorce teams? The Case for Value Added. Bruce, in the article you mentioned that divorce has two tracks and they operate simultaneously, the business track and the emotional track. Please explain what you mean by that.
Well, Colin, as you might expect, most people think about divorce as being a legal financial process. And it is, but it's even more than that. It's an emotional process. The business track generally involves attorneys and financial specialists. And at the same time the business track is running, right underneath that is the emotional track, the anger, the pain. And life is primarily an emotional experience. If I play a song on the radio that reminds you of being 15 years old, your first thought probably is not going to be algebraic equations or conjugating Spanish or French verbs. You're going to remember how you felt at that time, and that's how life is. So if the emotional track is not handled up well, then it will knock the business track right off the rails, and then it's really hard for people to make agreements, or at least not agreements that they could live with. It tends to escalate conflict. And of course, when we're in conflict, one of the natural processes is that our focus just narrows. So instead of seeing the wide range of possibilities for solving the family's problem peacefully and less expensively, because of the emotion of anger taking over, the focus narrows into just how do I win and how do I make sure they lose? And so you can imagine how expensive that gets.
Right. Wendy, just a question for you. You've worked in public schools and observed firsthand the effects of divorce on children. Tell us about some of your experiences.
Well, I had one child sent to me. He spent all morning with me. His parents were doing a court divorce, and the issue was custody, and he just was at the verge of vomiting. I see kids regularly. They're sent to me with headaches, with stomach aches, and I talk to them, and invariably it's something to do with co-parenting or their parents are in a divorce. And I know that's a whole other issue, but when parents work together as co-parents, I don't see the kids very often in my office. When it's a disaster and the teachers tell me this too, that's when I see the kids weekly with all types of complaints.
Back to Carol and Bruce. Carol, perhaps you could explain what a child specialist is and why is a child specialist needed in a collaborative team divorce?
Well, Colin, a child specialist is a licensed mental health professional who has experience, expertise, and training working with children and teenagers and even adult children of divorce for many, many years. So it's training beyond being a psychotherapist or psychologist and additional training in mediation skills and collaborative skills, so that they can function on an interdisciplinary team as a co-equal with the other professionals on the team. And I think you also asked, why is a child specialist needed? Because the child specialist represents the children's voice during the process. We don't have children actually come to the meetings. That would be quite traumatic for children. So the child specialist has special skills training, how to interview children, how to not lead, ask them leading questions, and then all the expertise of working with children of divorce throughout the developmental stages of children. So that person brings all that experience, the children's voices, and so forth, to the actual meetings to assist the parents and the other professionals craft the best agreements for the children, keeping the children in mind as well.
What does it mean to give the children a voice?
I tell children that, and the parents, that they have a voice, not a choice. And what that means is that their voicing their feelings, mainly it's about their feelings. Their preferences sometimes are important, but underneath those preferences usually are their feelings. And how they're feeling about the divorce, how they're feeling about being maybe in two different homes already, and so forth. But they don't have a choice, meaning a child specialist wouldn't say, well, tell me where you want to live and which parent do you like the best. And I'm very clear with children and parents about that as well.
Are children open? Do they open when they are confronted, not confronted, but when this issue is addressed with their parents getting divorced? Are they sort of tight and closed, or are they open about expressing their feelings?
Well, some children are tight and closed, and that's usually a function of the co-parenting, as Wendy was commenting on a couple minutes ago. My experience has been most children, in my experience with me, are quite open, and I have a therapy dog named Molly. She helps a lot to have children feel comfortable. But really, Colin, it goes back to the training that child specialists have of how to interview children. It is a skill. It's an expertise to get children to open up and to feel comfortable talking.
Wendy, how do you deal with family members who are not supportive?
Well, I try to talk to the children and get a feel for what's going on with them. I talk to the teachers to see their input. And I'll ask the parents, you know, what's going on and how can we support you? Because what I'm finding, too, with poor co-parenting as a nurse, is the parents are so overwhelmed and feeling stressed that maybe if we could get their stress levels down a little bit, then they could do a better job as co-parents.
Yes. Now, you're a nurse and you use, I understand, homeopathic remedies.
I do, and that was a lifesaver for me.
Really?
I liked Bach flower remedies. Bach was a physician he lived in the 1880s to 1930s, and I'm one of those people. I don't get the newest phone or tablet. I have to see how things go. So I use medicines that have been prescribed in India for thousands of years and the Vikings used, just because I want to make sure it works.
How effective really is homeopathic treatment?
It is so effective. During my divorce, I used, it's called Walnut, and it is a change in your life, a new path, and it specifically says it's good for divorce. I brought that up to women in transition. A lot of the women tried it. I've told so many, you know, people as a nurse, and they tried Walnut, and they just said it's really good. Another thing I'd like to talk about, and I think most of you probably have heard of Rescue Remedy. That's even in grocery stores, and that's also a box flower remedy. Before I went into collaborative sessions, I'd squirt that in my mouth.
Wow.
And
it worked for you?
Oh, instantly. In fact, I had an adult that had a major panic attack that I was trying to take care of in the school. And I gave her that, and she just calmed right down.
Isn't that just psychosomatic?
No, it's something with the blend of flowers, because I know when I take different ones, I feel differently. Wild oat is for a new path, a new life change, and that was when I was writing a book, becoming an author, and not really doing as much with being a nurse. And then I don't know about you, Colin, but at night sometimes the thoughts are swirling around, particularly during divorce or any stressful time, maybe tax season, doesn't matter what it is. But white chestnut is to calm the thoughts so that clears your mind, and it really does make a difference for me. And then, of course, remember there's B vitamins. They get depleted with stress.
Do you have a good sleeping remedy for me? Because I struggle to sleep.
because you are interviewing and you're talking and your mind is going a million miles a minute, I would highly recommend for you white chestnut.
Okay.
And then what I do, I keep in my drawer, and I tell people this too, Bach has a sleep rescue remedy. So when I wake up at 3 a.m. For some reason, I don't even turn the light on. I just squirt a few drops in my mouth. And you probably have heard of tryptophan, and those are more mainstream. But for stress, I just want to talk real quickly. Holy basil, it's been prescribed for thousands and thousands of years in India, and it really lowers cortisol levels. They've been doing more modern research on it. And another one is rhodiola, which also lowers the stress hormones and it balances the body, homeostasis.
If I'm not mistaken, Wendy, I think Bruce Fredenberg, who's on the line, also has some sort of anxiety solution disc or something to help with sleeping.
Yes,
you mentioned
indeed.
Last time he was on the program.
I remember that. Bruce, what do you have to say about that?
Uh, Well, I'd be happy to speak about it. First of all, I want to support Wendy in her endorsement of homeopathic remedies.
Good.
When I studied chronic pain management with Dr. David Bressler, who's the founder, was the founder and director of the Pain Center at UCLA, he prescribed homeopathic for people, and he pointed out that it's part of the medical education of physicians in France, and that it also works on animals, and so that takes care of the psychosomatic ideas about it. And I have referred many of my clients who are suffering from anxiety and depression to a local homeopath here in Orange County that is actually known internationally.
And does it work?
CDs for sleep. I actually discovered almost by accident, I had created some recordings for other purposes to help people with anxiety, to help them with depression, for people with chronic pain problems. And I discovered that they are better than 96% effective for sleep problems. Of the 1,000 or so I have distributed, 96% is really a low figure. And I found out that even the 4% that it didn't work on, when I investigated further, I found it's because they didn't really listen to them. So thanks for asking.
Okay. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle on AM 1590 KVTA.
Are you and your spouse contemplating a divorce? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Lisa Zonder is a divorce attorney and mediator. She can help you through this process, providing a number of alternatives to court, such as mediation and collaborative divorce with a professional team. Lisa's main office is on Townsgate Road in Westlake Village. She also serves mediation clients in her satellite office on Camden Drive in Beverly Hills. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740 or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. If you mention you heard it on the radio, your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. That's Lisa Zonder, 805-777-7740, or email Lisa at zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura County and Beverly Hills. Going through a divorce is never easy. It's not only emotionally draining, but the many financial decisions can add to your stress. For over 25 years, Ventura-based Stephen Wagner, certified financial planner of Wagner Financial, has been helping people just like you make smart decisions when emotions can sometimes get in the way. From planning your retirement income to investment management, Steve Wagner can create a roadmap that you can understand and follow as you embark on your new life. In addition to providing clients with access to informative financial content and useful tools, Wagner Financial will make you feel more confident about your financial stance now and in the future. Call 805-339-0760 for an appointment. That's 805-339-0760, or log on to wagnerfinancial.com. For that one-on-one personalized financial attention, call Steve Wagner Financial on 805-339-0760. 805-339-0760. Stephen H. Wagner is an investment advisor representative with Transamerica Financial Advisors, as well as securities and investment advisory services offered through TFA, member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. Wagner Financial is not affiliated with TFA.
Divorce, Lisa's Honor Style on AM 1590 KVTA. I'm Colin Flaxman. Wendy Schuller on the line. Wendy, just a couple of questions for you before we let you go. What is it like to experience a child custody evaluation? What advice for those going through a custody evaluation?
Okay. Not every collaborative or mediation or court case has a formal custody evaluation. It's more when there's really challenging issues. So what we had to do is we paid $8,000 up front, and she is a psychologist and a lawyer, and she did a whole battery of personality tests, the Rorschach ink blocks, and did extensive interviews with the children. And then it goes into a parenting plan. She's the one that did the parenting plan, and she will say, 1 week with one parent, or maybe every other week with one parent. So she looks at their emotional states, analyzes the results of personality testing, and then makes a determination about visitation and custody.
Now, how do you deal with mutual friends and break the news to them? I think that's very important.
Well, what I did is when I, they were friends of my husband, I called them. So that way I could run into them comfortably in the grocery store and they wouldn't feel like they had to avoid me. And I was given a Dear John note, a post-it note, saying that my husband was leaving me. And unfortunately, the kids read it at the same time I did.
Oh, gosh.
So I didn't have to worry about how to break the news to the kids. We got it broken together. So
that is too bad.
Yeah, but I just would recommend calling people. And then I told them about the note so that there wasn't any lies about, oh, she left me or this happened. They knew what happened. I just kept it like a two-minute conversation. And that way we were able to meet. And then my friends, of course, I told them the whole story.
Right. All of this advice is very, very good that you've given us on the air. And this is available on your website, womansguidetodivorce.net?
Right. And also the book, The Woman's Holistic Guide to Divorce. I spell my name with an I, Wendy, with an I, and then Schuller is S-C-H-U-L-L-E-R.
I presume available on Amazon?
Amazon. It's available globally. It's even in some bookstores in England. It's even in Guernsey, Channel Islands.
How did you get to contribute to the UK Divorce magazine?
The owner of the magazine found my website and saw my style of writing, and it was good for her magazine.
Well, that's great.
Clicked, and so that's how it just started.
Wendy, thank you so much for joining us on Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Really appreciate your input, and I wish you lots of luck with your journeys and your publications and everything you're doing to help people going through a divorce.
Thank you so much, Colin and Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Back to Bruce and to Carol. I have a question for you. Let me get to that. I made a particular note that I wanted you to cover. Yes, Carol. I would imagine you wouldn't use an email to break the news to your adult children that, if we're talking about adult children now, that you and your spouse are divorcing. How would you break the news to adult children?
Well, yes, I would definitely not use an email. Of course, there are a lot of extenuating circumstances. Do the adult children live close enough to come, you know, to the family home so that the family could be together? Let's say it's a brother and a sister and the mom and dad. That would be ideal to let them know that you had some, but at least by phone, let them know, well, you know, you're going to be here in a couple of weekends or in a month for a family gathering, and we would like to talk to you about something that's, you know, going to be affecting our family, and we don't have cancer, kind of thing.
Oh, right, yes. So they're going to worry and say, come and talk to us, what is going on, because they're adults and going through their own problems. So this is there a specific script of what to say, how to say it? Is there a right or wrong way to break the news?
Well, yes, I wrote an article about that, to how to talk with your adult children about your upcoming separation or dissolution of marriage. Schedule a time where you can be face-to-face, preferably. And I really encourage people to make notes and say, this is really important. We want to make sure that we cover everything. So we've made some notes together. The parents can model for their adult children that they're still working together as their parents, because of course they will always be these adult children's parents. Tell them that the two of you have decided to end your marriage because you have problems that you haven't been able to solve. Don't blame each other, because that affects the adult children's relationship with the parents. They feel as though they have to side with one parent against the other. Tell them what's going to remain the same. For example, we're going to keep the family home. Dad's going to live in the family home. We're going to sell it. We're both going to downsize. One of us is, you know, we're both going to stay in the area or not. So tell them what's going to remain the same, what's not going to remain the same. And tell them that you are going to put their feelings above your own feelings. Let me say that differently. The parents should tell the adult children that the adult children's feelings are more important to them than the parents' own feelings, so that, again, the parents are being empathic toward the adult children's feelings. Many adult children say that this news that their parents were divorcing after so many decades rocked their world. That's a common phrase they use. Or shook me to my foundation. And another good thing to tell the children is that you believe in family, and that you, even though you're divorcing as husband and wife, or other variations of that, if it's same-sex marriages, that family is forever, and that that is going to be your focus.
Bruce, have you ever had to use hypnotherapy on adult children whose parents are getting divorced?
In my therapy practice, yes, certainly, but not in my role as adult child specialist in a collaborative divorce or mediation.
Right.
Yeah.
So back to a question I had for you, Carol. How do you avoid the blame game of letting your adult child know what went wrong with your spouse? Oftentimes they already know. So is it bad to just call a spade, as it were?
Well, I would say our field is a bit divided on that question, or the answer to that question. Here's what I tell parents. I ask them, do you love your children more than you hate your children's other parents?